Well, I'm thinking about the need that we have to respond to the Spirit of God. You hear sometimes when a minister gets up, he'll exhort on how needy we are of the Lord's help, of the Spirit of the Lord to help us. And I know there is things the Lord lets us do, but there are some things we can't do for ourselves. We don't really have the ability to look in and really see ourselves like we think we can sometimes. We're desperate for the Lord to help us with that. And the scripture says in the 6th chapter of Genesis, the Lord said, "My spirit won't always strive with man." And it makes us to know that there could be a time that influence into our life is not going to be there. And if it's not there, you're not going to be able to get to the place that you need to be. Because it's going to take the Lord to open it up. It's going to take the Lord to be able to bless and get us there. So I'd like Lord's help for us to open our hearts a little bit this morning to the idea of responding to the Spirit of the Lord. Because the Lord knows the opportunity, the time, the place, and how to bring us to the place to respond and have the fullest chance and opportunity to be able to get what we need. Another scripture in Isaiah 55:6 says, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near." The given of that is that the idea is that you won't always be near. He won't always be able to be found, possibly. So when the time comes, Lord help us to be pliable. Lord help us to be willing. Lord help us to humble ourselves down to whatever point we need to be able to get that which the Lord has for us in that time and place. And so I'd like to start this morning with scripture in Proverbs. No, I'm sorry. I think I want Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes 9. In the 11th verse, it says, "I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill. But time and chance happeneth to them all." Time and chance happen to them all. And this idea of chance, I don't think that it's just talking about that there is a dice roll in life or there is just a something that's haphazard. But what it's saying is that circumstances happens to everybody. That the wise man looked and said, I've seen fast people. I've seen swift people. I've seen people that I would say, he's faster than everybody else in the race and surely he'll win. But just as soon as you think something like that, something happens that's totally out of the ordinary and the man that should have won don't win. He stubs his toe somewhere along the line. Something happened, he tweaks a muscle in his leg, or something that happens out of the ordinary, and the man that should have won didn't win, and the writer looked at that and said, he thought the fastest man is always supposed to win. Well, I'd say it'd be a great advantage in a race to be the fastest one out there. But to lay your hopes and ideas on that, many people have then been disappointed by those kind of things when they thought surely they would be the one, and then all the things change for them. But this scripture says that there's a time for everything, and chance happens to everyone. I think I wrote it down here a little. Time and opportunity is mixed with incident and occurrences. Along life's way, there is incidents and occurrences that happens in the midst of all of our life. And in those times, opportunity, the opportunities of life, we have opportunities given to us to be able to learn and to understand and sections of life given to everyone. I'm not a young man anymore. That's past, but I had that opportunity one time. You have today life. You was given this day. Every one of us has a space of life and time to be able to work and to deal with, given as a gift of God. You can experience and understand things in youth that old people can't. They've already passed through that. But yet, I'm looking forward to it too, because I am older. And to be honest with you, I don't want to go back. Oh, I like to maybe have a little bit more agility in my body, but I wouldn't want to go back to the mental way that I was when I was young. No offense to you young people. But there was ways about me when I was young that I'm glad I don't have to deal with that now. I was, you could embarrass me really, really easy when I was little. People would like, my hair is darkened a lot, but it used to be really, really red. Well, it was really, really red it was almost orange. And people like to pick on me because of that, and I embarrassed easy about that. I was very small for my age. I was skinny. I was freckle-faced and orange-haired, and I was the perfect target for anyone that wanted to make a joke, or they always said that redheads was lucky if you rubbed their head. You know how many people would come up and rub my head and think they got luck from it? Well, I want to tell you that it is not lucky to rub a redhead. Because if a redhead was lucky, I wouldn't have had my head rubbed all the time. It has nothing to do with luck. But I'm going to tell you, I wouldn't want to go back to those times. And you know why? Because everything there helped me. It helped me in many ways. I look back and said, those things were, you can look at them as something that was bad, but I looked at them and said, that helped me a lot in my life. It really did. I had to deal with things in my life. And it brought a certain thing to me. The Lord knows how to deal with this. And there's an opportunity for us. As the Spirit of God works in our lives, He's going to bring us to certain places in life. And that may only be a window. A window to be able to deal with that time in every person's life. Passing by in time will be the windows of opportunity given there, created, made by the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord takes advantages of those times to give us the very best chance to be able to make heaven. Those opportunities and things that come by, I'm thankful for the time. I didn't realize it, but I look back at it. And as a young man, I got to the point, I had my youth, I had my strength. Everything that would have thought would have been going my way. But yet I become miserable in life. I didn't know what life was about. I wasn't a happy young person, I'm saying, when I hit my 20s. And I wondered about life and all that. But you know, the Lord began to deal, left an opportunity come by me as a person that was miserable. And there come by that time, a space for me to make a decision. God brought me to the place and laid out before me the plan of salvation. And brought that opportunity, this little section. I've seen in other places of my life that I refused that window that came by, but the Lord allowed it to come by again. This space of time to where the Lord was speaking to my heart, very definitely speaking to my heart and saying, now is your opportunity, your space, the course of your life can be changed right here because I'm dealing with your soul. If the Lord is dealing with you, my message to you this morning is, take that opportunity and respond to that dealings of the Lord. Time and chance, or time and opportunity, mixed with circumstances and occasions, go through everyone's lives. And the Lord takes them and builds them to the ultimate place. You may say, I'm going through some hard times in my life. That might be your window. That might be the time. See, what we're dealing with is the fact that we can't do it ourselves. There is people that say, I'm going to be saved one of these days. You don't know that. It's impossible for you to really know how you're going to feel about salvation. You might think right now that I'm a young person, but somewhere in my life I'm going to get serious about the Lord and I'm going to respond to His wooings and His dealings and the occasions and the opportunities of the Lord. I'm going to respond to that. And you may feel sensitive enough in your heart right now to believe that. But as time goes by, you don't know that that's going to be the way you feel about it. You may lose all understanding of that. You may lose the desire to be saved. You may really want to be saved now, but you may lose that desire. Unless the Lord comes and gives that, you may not ever feel that way again. It's a deception of the enemy that tells people, do it tomorrow. Put it off. Today is the day of salvation. When the Lord's dealing with your heart, now is the time to respond. Because you may never have that inward pulling, that real desire. It isn't that God wouldn't save you or don't save you. It isn't that God don't want you to be saved. It isn't that God casts you away. It's that inside you, you can't come to that place by your own. You can't just say, well, I really have a desire for the Lord inside me. You can't make yourself feel that way. It's the work of the Holy Ghost in the heart. And so as the Lord moves, touches, it's the Holy Ghost that brings conviction. It's His job to convict. It's His job to bring that feeling of need to your life. It's what He does. And I'm going to say today, it isn't a bad thing. I thank God for guilt in this sense. I thank God for the ability to feel. To feel. To be able to respond. I thank God for the pricks that happens in our lives. I'm not talking about going into sin, but I'm thankful for the sensitivities of being able to feel the Spirit of the Lord and to be able to respond to it. And look at a scripture in Matthew, 11th chapter of Matthew. Sixteenth verse says, but whereunto shall I liken this generation? It is like unto children sitting in the markets and calling unto their fellows and saying, we have piped unto you and ye have not danced. We have mourned unto you and ye have not lamented. Have you ever noticed that a small child, even a child so small before they've even had the opportunity sometimes to even talk, before they have an understanding of most anything, my children have did this. They've responded to music. They have actually started. Have you ever had a small child that couldn't even sing yet, couldn't even talk yet, start bebopping, if you want to call it that, start swaying with the music, start doing it? Music. To those that know, music is a very powerful thing. Music has the ability to touch us inside. It has ability to move. It's not just the words, because I can speak words to you, but it don't do the same thing. But if you take words and then you give it poetry, then it adds a little bit of power to it. You can read things in poetic form and it has more inspiration to it than it does without it. Put in the right way, it touches you. But to enhance that tenfold, put music to it. Now, not just any music, but music fits the scene, the setting. It fits what's trying to happen. We can be lifted up by a song. You take some of the songs of our book, for instance. You can take some of the praise song. I think number 53, let the gates of praise be open. That has a certain lifting. It has a certain praise. We feel that motion. You can have a peppy, uplifted song and you'll begin. You ever been driving along, listening to music? And music will slow you down. And music will speed you up. If the beat gets going, and you get going, just now you're driving beyond the speed limit. It can influence you to go faster because it's faster. It can slow you down. There is songs, be honest with you, there are some songs that I don't really like because they give me a feeling of being melancholy. Down. It's depressing. I don't like depressing things, and there's music that's very sad and sorrowful, funeral hall music, the organ music. I don't go for that much because I don't like the feelings that I get along with that. I remember when I was a child hearing it, and it depressed me, and it stuck with me all these years. When I hear it, it's too low for me. I don't like it. But music has an ability to touch lives, and you can have it all the way. There is music going with the subject that will bring tears to people's eyes. I've seen it happen. It has the ability to do that. The scripture says, we've piped unto you, but you haven't danced. And I'm going to tell you, if that's in when the music is at its peak, and it's getting with it, and you ain't moved, you're not going to dance. And you're not going to dance when the music's not there. If you can't be moved at the time and window, at the space of window, where the Lord pipes, where the Lord is singing the song of your heart, when He's singing the love song to your heart, when He's singing the need, when He brings the guilt, when He brings the need of your life to salvation, when He's singing that song, and it's in the fullness of the conviction of the Holy Ghost, and you don't dance, you're not going to dance when you want to dance. Because that is at its peak moment of sensitivity in your life. Many people think, I'm going to be able to recreate the music somewhere in my life. And folks, don't be deceived today. You can't recreate God's music when you want to. You can't make it return. You can't make the feelings of need come back in your life. You can't make yourself long for the Lord. You can't make what the love song sing again. You're not going to be able to return to the feeling of that. But you think, we think sometimes, I'll go away, I'm not ready. I'll go away now and I'll remember, or I'll get to a place, or I'm going to do it in my own time and place. He said, I piped and you didn't dance. When your ultimate opportunity with the music being right at the peak of your emotional ability to respond, you don't respond. What makes you going to think you're going to dance when there's no music being played? When that's what the music does, it makes you feel like dancing. The Lord's Spirit makes us feel like the need. We feel like we need to come to the Lord. Without that, folks, we don't have it. You can't make yourself good enough to go to heaven. You can't change your own life. You've got to dance to the Lord's music. Because if you don't dance to His music, you'll never want to go there. And He said, we have lamented to you, and you have not mourned. I don't know of any stronger influences into a person's life than music and lamenting. If someone gets up and tells a very touching thing that happened to their life, and they start crying, and their emotions begins to pour out, Sister Maxine will cry. Not just to use you, Sister Maxine, but I've seen you do it. Because they lamented. And she responds and mourns My wife responds and mourns many times. I minister so I get to look at your all's faces. And I can see what the Lord does sometimes. I can see through the passion of the preaching. I can see the Lord bring things and see tears start happening. Then I can see the Lord doing something else, and I can see the uplifting of it. As the Lord deals, I can see the emotional responses to it. And He says of these people, we lamented. And when you had the ultimate time, it was your moment. We lamented to you. And in that moment, could have touched you. Could have touched you to tears. Could have touched you to need, to responding. And we was in the place of lamenting. We was mourning. I was mourning. Another one was mourning. And you was there at your ultimate time to be touched. You steeled yourself against it. And you would not mourn for the need of your own soul. Amen. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. I have struggled with the idea of that scripture for a long time. And as deep as I could get into it, I just thought that there was something of a blessing to be able to release yourself in crying, that the Lord would comfort a need of a crying person. But that's not really all that scripture is talking about. That scripture is really talking about, if you study it out, a person that is sorrowful for their sins. They are mourning the fact that they ever sinned against God. They're mourning against the trouble that they've caused, the guilt that still... See, God forgives us. And it's well, it's be, and it's a miracle in God. But you know, it's like this. It's possible in God's world, not in humanity, but it's in God's world, it's possible to be the least and the greatest at the same time. When you're the least, you become the greatest. How can that be? The greatest and the least are opposites. But as soon as you become, quit becoming the least, you quit becoming the greatest. There's a possibility in God's world of being in a continual state of mourning and being in a continual state of comfort. We always mourn wrong. We mourn the sins of the world. We mourn the wrong, the bad things of the world. We mourn our own life that we had in the past and yet be comforted at the same time. Always, always comforted of that. I am so sorry I was ever a sinner. I'm so sorry. I look back on some of the things and I'm not, it's cast, God cast it as far as east is from the west and into the sea of forgetfulness. But yet there is forever to be among us a deep regret of mourning of sin. David said it right when he said concerning his sin with Bathsheba, that my sin is ever before me. He didn't take the attitude, y'all just forgive me and forget it. You just forgive me and forget it. He said before God, it is always before me. I will live the rest of my life, O Lord, always regretting, mourning, mourning that sinful place that I had in my life, that it might always keep me from it. And because I do, there will always be the comfort of God, the Holy Ghost, upon my life when I do that. But He said, you mourn. We lamented. We lamented your situation. We cried for you. We cried for the children of men and that generation. They sat and cried and wept for them, for the sinful condition that they were in. Jesus wept for them. The Holy Ghost weeps and mourns for the souls of men now. He mourns for them, pleads with them. Your end is destruction. Your eternal destiny is hell forever without God. I'm always mourning. And when the Lord laments and brings those things, and yet many never mourn. And if they can't be touched right at the most sensitive time, folks, you will never be. Don't fall for the idea that I somewhere in my life am just going to decide to feel like I want the Lord. I'm just going to feel like that I want to get saved. I'm going to feel like I need to do better in my life. Or I'm just going to take off dancing one of these days. One of these days I'm just going to take off dancing. Ain't no music being played. I don't feel like moving. Lord, help us to respond. Yes, amen. We
I know that the history of an altar like we have is fairly new in human terms. I think people started using the altar just a little over 100 years ago or so, basically like we do in worship service. Wasn't much evidence of it before that. But you know, it's been found to be a real good tool for the Lord. And the idea that we always say, and because we have an understanding, we say this: when the Lord deals with you, respond. Because it is so easy, while the music's being played, to dance. But once you leave out, many times the music becomes less and less. And then left in a lot of people's notions is the idea that all that was good and it touched my soul. And I'm going to do something about that sometime. Sometime I'm going to do something about it. Maybe today. I'm going to go home and do something about it. And get home and say, that really touched me. Before I sleep tonight, I'm going to do something about it. I'm going to do something before the week's ended. One revival meeting falls on another. One camp meeting falls on another with this intention that one day I'm going to dance until the intention's gone. And I don't feel like it at all. Lord, help us to respond to the dealings of the Lord. Over in the book of Acts, in the 26th chapter of Acts, oh, I'm going to read just a little bit of this. Back about the 19th verse. Says, whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not obedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them of Damascus, and at Jerusalem, and throughout all the coast of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God, and do works meet for repentance. For these causes the Jews caught me in the temple, and went about to kill me. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continued into this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophet and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead, and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself, much learning doth make thee mad. But he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things, before whom also I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, for this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then King Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day, were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds. Now, the King Agrippa, he listened, and he was touched by the Spirit of God and the Word of God through Paul. I'm convinced that was, you read that whole thing and it's quite convincing. The Holy Ghost was on him and his words were powerful. He played the music for King Agrippa. And a King Agrippa, the window of his life, the opportunity passed by him through Paul's ministry. He had a privilege that was special. The Apostle Paul was able to preach to him a personal message. Amen. from the Lord and told him. The most convinced, I'm going to tell you, I am convinced that that message was the message of the hour, of the moment, for the heart of King Agrippa. Nothing else could have done it like that message done it. It was full of the Spirit of God. It was full of truth. It had everything in it that King Agrippa needed for his opportunity. And he said, almost. Almost you persuade me to be a Christian, Paul. Something touched me there. I felt it. If King Agrippa was been a wise man, he would have fell down on his knees and begged God to have mercy on his soul. But he said, almost, almost, thou persuadest me. Folks, almost don't get it. Almost is not going to do it. I almost think I ought to take care of that. I almost think I ought to respond. Lord, help us to be sensitive to respond to the Spirit of God when it deals with our heart, with our life. Because you may not always feel the same way. I would hate to stand before the Lord with something in my life that I couldn't answer to Him for when it was something that God dealt with me about and I shucked it off and wouldn't deal with the thing. Because when He brings that place to the time that needs dealt with, that's the time to deal with it. Sometimes the Lord will come by and say, you said something in a hasty way. You need to take care of that. You ever had the Lord say to you, when you thought you was right, come and tell you was wrong, and then tell you you got to go back and fix it? I've had to go back and fix it. And I felt like fixing it at the time because it was on me to do it. And I didn't feel right until I got it done. And I responded to the Spirit of the Lord. But you can let those things go and say almost. And never quite get there. And you'll never, may never feel like going and taking care of that again. It's necessary to respond to the Spirit of the Lord. Is there anyone know what happened to King Agrippa? Almost persuaded to be a Christian don't make you one. We can only speculate. Maybe somewhere else the Lord dealt with, brought another window of opportunity by, but we don't know. Anything of that nature, it's ended here as far as I know, and he didn't. I hope the Lord piped to him again. Over in the 26th chapter of Acts, I want the 24th chapter. I'll just go back a ways in the 20th verse. It says, or else let these same here say, if they have found any evil doing in me while I stood before the council, except it be for this one voice that I cried, standing among them, touching the resurrection of the dead, I am called in question by you this day. And when Felix heard these sayings, having more perfect knowledge of that way, he deferred them and said, when Lystras, the chief captain, shall come down, I will know the uttermost of your matter. And he commanded a centurion to keep Paul and to let him have liberty, and that he should forbid none of his acquaintances to minister or come unto him. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, go thy way for this time. When I have convenient season, I will come for thee. He hoped also that money should have been given him of Paul that he might loose him. Wherefore he sent for him, the offender, and communed with him. Oh, how deceived. It's said that this man, Felix, heard the preaching of Paul, and Paul reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, and it said Felix trembled. That's the work of the Holy Ghost. The window of Felix's life, the opportunity comes by. And here is the message. I am convinced the message for Felix was probably a little different for Agrippa. But I'm convinced that the message Paul preached and under the anointing of the Holy Ghost to him and reasoning of those things was the exact message that Felix needed. And when he heard it, he trembled. Folks, it's time to dance. It's time to do something. The Holy Ghost has pointed his finger and said it's time to do something. And Felix then, instead of doing it, he said, go thy way for this time. I wonder how many times we've said that very thing to the Lord in our actions. Go away, for it isn't convenient for me right now. I can't do it right now, but I will call for you in a convenient time. You're trembling, Felix. Your moment has come. Your moment is here. God has chosen it, Felix. Don't turn it down. But he said while he was trembling, I'll call for a convenient time. And I pray, and I'm not hard. God isn't either. I pray God would have mercy on everyone that's putting down and give another opportunity and another one. But it's dangerous to trifle with God. It's dangerous to trifle with the Holy Ghost in His dealings. He comes at the time of the best opportunity of our lives. And He will reason. And He, of the things of righteousness, of how we live, of temperance, how we ought to live, of judgment, the way we ought to live and act, and how we put our life, He deals with those things through His Spirit. And Felix said, while trembling, not now. Do we have anything else recorded of Felix? What happens with Felix? What happens with him too? What happens with the multitudes that's turned down? Who can know? Remember Brother Larry telling the story. He's told it many times. Brother Larry Abbott. Telling of what he seen one time. Of a message coming forth. And a man, he said, sitting right on the front bench. And the message come forth. And the man was trembling. And as he stood there, he said he could have, one step, he could have knelt down at the altar. He was that close. And he stood there trembling as the altar call came. The Word of God touched him. He trembled before the Lord. But he never fell. And 2 weeks later, he went out into eternity. They had talked to him about it. And he said, not now. But I want to be saved. I want to be saved sometime. In 2 weeks, and he was out into eternity, killed in a car wreck. Right there was the time. You don't think God already knew what the 2 weeks would hold for this man? You don't think God already knew what that was all about? And in God's timing, He piped. He brought the opportunity by this man. He lamented. He piped to the man. He touched him to the point of trembling and understanding the need of his soul. But folks, we are forever with a choice. We are forever with a choice before the Lord. As He deals with our soul, we can say to Him, no. As I brought out already, I think, in this meeting, when Jesus went to the land of the Gadarenes and healed the man in the tomb, and when the great host of those came back from the city and saw that this man was there clothed and in his right mind, you would think that would be something. Jesus had went to the land of the Gadarenes to take the gospel to them, to heal blind eyes, to cast out devils, to heal the sick, to bless them, to feed them, to give them the hope of eternity. And what did they say to the Lord Himself? They besought Him that He would leave their coast. You know, the dreadful thing is, He left. He didn't argue when they besought Him. He didn't stand and plead with them and say, don't send me away. Your hope is here. He didn't stand and do it. They come and besought him, and it said he went and got in the ship and left and went to the other side again where they received him. You know that the Lord will honor our asking him to leave. But now let's go further than words, folks. He is a discerner of the intents of the heart. You don't have to say, Lord, leave our coast. You can feel down inside. You can have it in you. Lord, I don't want what you have. And as Brother Clifford Cole always says, he's a gentleman. And he'll leave. Oh, I thought of what hope they had in the land of the Gadarenes. The very Son of God went there to a heathen land full of idolatry and mystics and all kind of things. And he went there as a savior. And they run him off. Their window of opportunity had come by. And they rejected it and sent it back. I wonder how many it cost them, how much it cost them at the end. Lord, help us today. We have a privilege today, a privilege of God dealing with our souls. Lord, don't leave me, but deal with me, Lord. And help me to be pliable to your dealings. When you come by singing the song of love to me, when you come by singing that song that you want me to move up a little bit closer, Lord, help me to move. When you come with that lamenting for my soul's sake, Lord, help me to join in and cry with you so that we can get it fixed. Scripture in the 17th chapter of Acts. The 22nd verse says that Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, "Ye men of Athens, I perceive in all things ye are too superstitious. For as I passed by, beheld your devotion, I found an altar with the inscription to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you." Now this Paul took the opportunity here. But my understanding of this is when he said they were too superstitious, is that they worshipped the gods as they understood them, and a god, they just everything had a god to it because everything's ruled by somebody. So they believed that there was a weather god, and there was these gods that did this, and they were so fearful and superstitious that they make sure that they appeased each god so that nothing bad would happen. We don't want the god of the lightning to get us, or the god of the harvest to ruin our harvest, or the god of this. So they wanted to make sure that they appeased and had an understanding of God. And so somebody comes up with the idea of, well, what if we forgot one? What if there's a god out there that can do something to us that we don't really understand or know about? Well, we'll make one to the unknown god and kind of let that go to any other gods that might have something to do us in the superstitions. But Paul takes this opportunity. An opportunity. He takes it for them. Now here's a great opportunity for the men of Athens with all their gods. I believe that the Holy Ghost chose this message. You notice he don't have the same message here he had for Agrippa. God's got the ability to take a message. It's amazing to me. He's got the ability to take a message and someone over here gets something, somebody over here gets an individual message for each individual. I've heard people stand up and testify about messages I preached and me sitting there thinking, I never preached that. I never said that. Well, I never. The Holy Ghost did. He took what was being done and he directed it to them for their opportunity in their space to deal with their soul. And he did it different here. And he deals with the men of Athens according to their own understanding. And a window opens to them through the Holy Ghost, men of Athens. It's time to respond.
The music's playing.
For you.
It's for you. Yes. He's playing the tune that you understand, that you can be moved by. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that He is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though He needeth anything, seeing He giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made one blood of all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth, and hath determined the times and the appointed and the bounds of their habitations, that they should seek the Lord. Yes. Your time. He's made the bounds. He's made the opportunity. That's you, your time. I believe for everyone in the earth, God has appointed a time, an opportunity, and a window for His dealings with their life. Their ultimate, the best, the very best of their time could be right now. There is people that have rejected the Lord totally. And yet in God's mercy many times, He brings a window. I had a man just last week tell me that he was an atheist. And he, a chosen atheist. And didn't believe. And for years and years he didn't believe. And he said a man came and told him this. But get the story right. He said that a man challenged him to this. He said, you can take your passion. Your passion. What you have passion for. And if you'll be honest and start looking for God, you'll see God in that. And this man told me, he said, I love physics. I love science. I love all these things. And I took that challenge. He said, I wasn't afraid of that. I took that challenge. And he told me, he said, you know what I found? I can't be an atheist anymore. Because I started seeing things that couldn't happen unless there was God. If I was honest, there had to be God. There had to be something that held it together. There had to be a force to it. This says that He had life and breath and yea, all things. And this man become and looked at it honestly and said in his scientific mind, even science says there's a God, if you're honest. Do you know God spoke to this man in His own language, in His own opportunity? He spoke to him in the things that he enjoyed and liked and his passion for, and proved that He was God in the middle of that. And He'll do it to every one of us that's honest, because God is in it all. Men of Athens, you're too superstitious. Let me tell you, this God is God of heaven and earth, and He created it all. And in Him we have our life, and in Him we move and have our being. And hath made one blood of all nations of men to dwell on the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they may seek the Lord, if happily they might feel after Him and find Him, though He be not far from every one of us. For in Him we live and move and have our being. So, that you should seek the Lord, that you might feel after Him. He's close to you today. It's never Him that's far off. And He doesn't reject us because He wants to. He does because we reject Him. He doesn't. It's no point in time that He wouldn't accept you if you come. It's just that you can't come. Because you have no ability to dance when He don't call. So we've got to move when the Lord moves. Help us, Lord, to respond to the wooing and the calling of the Spirit of God in our life. To enlighten us. To lift us up. And He said He's not far. The idea of this is His... to feel after was kind of an allegory of a blind man. Someone that can't see but that can feel. He's saying He's within arm's reach of you. Even a blind man groping. Yes. Can find the Lord. He makes Himself close to every one of us. My spirit
will not always strive with man. That comes from the sixth chapter of Genesis. And it had to do with the time before Noah, or in the days of Noah. And God had determined that He was going to destroy the earth, but that He was going to strive with man for 120 years. That He was going to allow the Spirit of God to work in the hearts of evil men to try to persuade them different. He piped unto that generation. And only Noah and his family danced. He lamented to that generation the awfulness of their sins and the destruction that was coming upon them. And they never mourned for themselves. And He said it wouldn't always strive with man. And there come a time that the Lord said, it's enough. I have dealt with the hearts of men. And now, they don't, because they didn't dance when I piped, they have no ability now to come. There is no reason to hold back judgment now. And He said, and some people say about something about Noah, Noah didn't shut the door. And I'm glad Noah didn't shut the door. Because if he shut it, he could open it. Said that the Lord shut the door. And what the Lord shuts, it takes the Lord to open back up. Lord, help us today. If the Lord's dealing with your heart today, don't turn Him down. It is your opportunity for salvation. Amen.